It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Well, the pandemic has forced change on all types of professions, including for those of us in radio journalism. I've been asked by listeners over the past weeks, what is it like covering this crisis, and how are you and your colleagues adapting to this new form of social distancing? So this hour, to answer those queries, I visit with a number of my colleagues here at Iowa Public Radio. We'll share how we've adapted to, well, working from our basements, where I am right now, from kitchens, bedrooms, and living rooms. In just a few minutes, I'll talk with a very important man behind the scenes here at Iowa Public Radio, someone who's in charge of many technical aspects of bringing you programming, IPR's broadcast operations manager, Jason Burns. But before that, let's briefly discuss the journalistic challenges of reporting on COVID-19 during this crisis with IPR News Director Michael Leland. Hello, Michael.
Hi, Ben.
Want to emphasize here, and I'm sure it'll come up several times in the program, we're so lucky to have the option for most of us working from home when others have lost their employment and others are working and facing more risk than we are. So let's make that clear from the outset. I know you'll join
me
in that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So tell me, Michael, as the news director, what have been the biggest challenges you've faced with the news team?
A couple. One is that, you know, we don't get a chance to see each other and have the kind of conversations that sort of drive ideas in the newsroom. Now, I say that, but at the same time, about half our staff already works outside of our main newsroom. You know, Katie Pikus in Sioux City, Amy Mayer in Ames, Pat Blank in Cedar Falls, and Kate Payne in Iowa City. So we're already used to working remotely with them, but we're all remote. And so we do get together once a day on a conference call and then have conversations throughout the day. But having that in-person opportunity to talk is one of the challenges. The other is that, you know, for the most part, you know, of course, we do gather some audio over the phone and do quick conversations that way. But reporters are also used to being in a place in person to be able to see what's going on and talk to people that are involved in stories that we're doing. And that's gone for now because of, you know, keeping ourselves safe and keeping the people we interview safe. So doing a lot of, you know, telephone interviews or interviews through Skype or other, you know, technical ways of contacting people. So I would say that, you know, not being able to see each other, but then also not being able to see and visit the people we would normally see and visit, probably two of our bigger challenges at this point.
Mm-hmm. In the couple minutes we have left, Michael, address this. This has been going on for about 6 weeks since we really ramped up into the COVID-19 era. At the beginning, news-wise, we were wall-to-wall COVID, obviously a huge change to our society, and almost I don't think anyone's untouched by this. How do you as a news director then judge how to have COVID news, cover that adequately, but then also not forget the other news out there?
Well, I mean, you know, in a way, I mean, fortunate or unfortunate, you know, the vast majority of our time is taken up covering various aspects of COVID, whether it's the governor's daily briefings or the latest outbreaks. You know, we're suddenly looking at, you know, food processing plans in Loisa County and in Waterloo, and checking on how schools are doing. You know, so that continues to consume us, but we are getting closer to the primary, so we need to shift at some point to start focusing on the candidates who'll be running in the primary elections on June 2nd. We are working on talking with the Secretary of State later this week as early voting, which begins on Thursday. But you know, that's something we're going to have to work out in the weeks ahead. So, but right now, I would still say that, you know, COVID is our biggest story, and it's the one that I think that, you know, we do the best work at right now because, you know, I believe that we're providing a public service by telling people things they need to know about this outbreak.
Right. In the remaining minute or so, tell us, how do you like working from home? I mean, you're directing a magnificent news team. That's hard from a distance, I have to imagine.
It is. I mean, I miss being able to have conversations with people in the newsroom. I miss just being in the newsroom. I'm able to get plenty done here. I mean, the technology we have is terrific, and I'm able to do everything here that I can do in the office. But really, it's that personal interaction that I miss more than anything.
Okay, very good. And what's on the docket for you today, just very quickly before we head out?
More story editing and talking about some longer-term projects as well.
Okay. IPR News Director Michael Leland, thanks so much.
All right, thanks, Ben.
It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Well, this hour, we're kind of having you look behind the scenes at us here at Iowa Public Radio and how we work, how we produce the news in this new environment. We know many of your jobs have changed. Perhaps you're working at home, and we feel incredibly lucky because we're able to work from home, to continue to deliver news and other content, music to you. We're transitioning just as many of you have been over the past 4 to 6 weeks. I guess transitioning is a nice way to put it. Others would say scrambling, but we're continuing to serve you, and we're so happy that we're allowed to do this. I want to go to our broadcast operations manager now, because while most of this hour will be taken up talking to content producers, Jason Burns, our broadcast operations manager, is really the one that allows us to deliver this content to you. He's the Jason, the Scotty in the engineering room? Can I put it that way?
Well, as a lifelong Trekkie, Ben, I have to tell you, you couldn't have picked a better way to flatter me at the beginning of this interview. So yes, thank you. I'll take that. Absolutely.
Okay. So people might not know what you do in normal times, in pre-COVID times. So what does a broadcast operations manager do on a daily basis, just generally speaking?
Well, the extension of my role is just helping the broadcast operations team do their job. And really, you can define broadcast operations as essentially just making sure that Iowa Public Radio sounds the way that it is supposed to. So that's everything from the correct program and the correct studio, the correct host being on the air at any given time, to every single underwriting message that you hear being placed in the exact spot that it is supposed to be, legal IDs happening within the hour that they're supposed to happen, all the promotional messages, all the pre-recorded content that we get from our program partners, from NPR, from American Public Media. There's just a giant tapestry of technology that makes a statewide radio network run. And the broadcast operations team basically takes all that technology, puts it together, and then makes a cohesive 24-hour stream out of all of our different signals. So that's news, that's classical, that's news and Studio One, and our 24/7 Studio One stream on the internet.
Right. And what's unique about Iowa Public Radio is that we are spread out across the state. We have studios right in Cedar Falls, in Iowa City, in Ames, where you usually are, and in Des Moines, of course. So that we've just grew up with that as Iowa Public Radio, and that has its own benefits and also sort of challenges. But let's talk a little bit about the challenges that you've faced the last 4 to 6 weeks as you've been dealing with, you know, how many people who need to socially distance each other. We need to see each other physically less of the time and work from our homes. What have been the challenges for you?
Oh boy. Well, it's there's a lot of them, as you might imagine. And what's really interesting is, our role as broadcast operations up until this COVID crisis happened would almost really be thought of as much of as a place as it is a job. And that place is Iowa Public Radio Master Control. And there's a master control studio that is on the campus of Iowa State University. It's up on the second floor of the communications building. And right up until the COVID crisis happened, we really pretty much defined most of the day-to-day things that we did as happening pretty centrally in that room. And so, as you might imagine, like anybody else who is, you know, having a job that's been radically changed since COVID-19 happened, we've looked at ways to try to make that room, you know, still functional, but also not as entirely central as it is to our line of work, and also still be able to support all the other folks who are now out of the studios that they're normally in or out of the offices that we're normally in. So, you know, it's almost impossible to calculate all the different ways that our job has changed in the last, you know, 4 to 6 weeks. But mm-hmm. it's basically every facet of what we do every day has been touched by this. Be it just finding ways to take things that were exclusively available in master control and put them on a server somewhere so somebody could access it from their home, to sending recording gear to people's houses, to sending Comrex units to people's houses to allow them to do live shows and things like that. It's just many, many, many different things that we've done over the last 4 to 6 weeks to try to keep Iowa Public Radio on the air, but to take things that we do every day and just move them into people's basements or living rooms or at their kitchen tables or wherever people happen to be doing work.
Yeah, right. In my case, I'm in my basement talking to you right now. And as you just described, some equipment was delivered here. You helped me set it up and we're working just fine here in this new environment. Where are you, by the way? Right now.
So I'm also in my basement. I'm using some of my own personal gear. It's really kind of funny. If you look at my workstation that I have here, I've got a laptop flipped open that I'm remotely controlling with the desktop that I've got in front of me. So I've got two screens here, a mixer that's my own personal gear, a microphone that's my own personal gear, but then I've got the IPR laptop kind of hooked into all this, into a workstation that I've sort of assembled ad hoc, you know, with all the parts that I was able to scrounge up, basically.
Right. Okay. So what about your home environment? Are you able to, do you have a room for yourself? Because I know some of us are dealing with, well, family. I mean, we're integrated into our families when we're home and we have pets and things like that. Do you have distractions there that you have to fend off?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I have, I think at this moment, I have a 6-year-old who is getting some screen time in. And then I have a 2.5-year-old who is, I think, rejecting his nap for about the 60th minute running.
Oh, no.
And so my wife may be dealing with that here pretty quick. And I'm just set up right next to the kids' trampoline and their little play tent, trying to make radio here, too.
Well, we're going to ask each of the people we talk with on this show to deliver us a picture of what your home environment looks like. So you've kind of painted that already, but I think we'd love to see that if we could, Jason, at some point.
Absolutely. Yep. I'd be happy to take a picture.
So how do you see this going forward? I guess, how are you planning? I mean, none of us have a crystal ball about how long this will last as social distancing, but we know it will be many months, as far as we can tell, at least. So what do you see in terms of operations for Iowa Public Radio going forward?
What I've advised my team to do and what we talk about kind of every day on the call is we just, you know, kind of remind ourselves that we're the mantra that we have is that we're in, you know, day number whatever it is out of only sideways 8 number of days left to go, question mark. You know, we're basically settling into the long haul on this one. So myself, I'm mostly working from home, and then I'm working from home with the idea that I'm kind of the first string backup for the two members of our team who are still going in every day for master control. So we do have folks who are still staffing that space. In order to keep that space as safe as possible, you know, we have a surplus of, you know, antibacterial, antiviral wipes and all that kind of stuff. And we've instituted a policy where there's at least a 20-minute gap between a shift takeover. So when person A is there, there's a gap between when the next person comes in and takes over. That gives the first person time to wipe everything down, make sure everything's clean. And if one of those two folks are out, then I jump in and cover the shift for them. And then we have another member of our team who, right as this crisis was kind of spinning up, you know, just a kind of a beautiful indicator of how life is on its own schedule. He just welcomed a new baby boy into his family and was out for a month. And now that he's back and helping us out, we have him helping us out remotely as well. So there's basically two members of the team that are helping out from afar, two members of the team that are in pretty much every day. And we're trying to keep that staffing level up and to make sure that we can still, you know, get everything done that we need to get done. And so far it seems to be working. And we just kind of remind ourselves to try to settle into this new normal because we don't know how long we're going to be doing this.
Okay. Jason Burns, Broadcast Operations Manager for Iowa Public Radio. I know I echo all the listeners' Congratulations and thanks for having you keep us on the air, technically working here. You've done a magnificent job. And thank you for letting us peek behind the scenes and sharing some of the challenges that you've been facing with your broadcast operations team. You get a great applause from all of us.
Oh, well, I appreciate that very much. Thanks, Ben, and happy to do it and glad, you know, now more than ever to be part of the IPR team.
It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Today, a type of reporter's notebook, you could say, asking those who produce content for Iowa Public Radio, some of my colleagues, to share what it's been like for them reporting on news during this COVID crisis. Let's talk now with IPR's Eastern Iowa reporter, Kate Payne. Hi, Kate.
Hey.
I assume I'm reaching you at home where most of us have been working. Many of us have been lucky enough, I guess we can say, to be able to work, mm-hmm. to hold our jobs and work from home and keep some social distancing. What have the past 4 to 6 weeks been like for you?
Oh, my gosh. It's just been amazing how quickly the world can change, I think. I was actually on vacation in Florida and New Orleans when everything really picked up in early March. And so I came back and immediately, you know, once I got back, IPR had gone full work from home and it was like we're in a different universe.
Yes.
And so it's just been, you know, constant ever since, just trying to do the best that we can to just report out the story every day over and over and over.
Mm-hmm. So talk a little bit about the nuts and bolts journalistic challenges that you face. I guess there's the technical side, which I've been dealing with, you've been dealing with, trying to adjust. We need the equipment to work from home, and our operations mm-hmm. people, our engineers have been furnishing that for us. But you have to be a little bit of a technical geek on your own because you're setting this up in your home, right?
Yeah, so I have set up on my kitchen table. So I've got, you know, my laptop and monitor set up. And then there are a couple of different ways that I've been recording, you know, for Zoom calls, which feels like we're all on all the time these days.
Yep.
And then recording through my cell phone. And then I kind of build these pillow forts when I record my stories to try and muffle the sound and try and keep my cat away, you know, to not ruin the take. But it's definitely been an adjustment, you know, doing everything remotely right. and really relying on people to just call you back. Just please call me back. So.
Right. And one of the big changes, I know you, as a reporter, you're out there talking with the people in normal times and previous times. So that really changes it for you. You're dependent on a telephone or the internet to record people, right? And you don't get to look at the faces and visit the venues, the places where these events take place.
Yeah, and that's been a really difficult adjustment, especially when this is, you know, for some people who are hit so hard, I mean, this is uprooting their lives. You know, it's really threatening the lives of themselves and their family members. And so when I'm trying to have these conversations over the phone, and it's very difficult. You know, it's not how we would want it to be. You want to really support these people who are sharing their lives with us, and it's been really hard to make those connections. And I'm just so thankful for all the people who have taken the time to speak with us and share what they're going through.
Right. And we were to have an on-air fundraiser during this time. It coincided with the onset of COVID here. And we are so grateful, and we keep saying it, how grateful we are for the listeners we have who support us with contributions also during this hour, during this time, as in sort of a quiet drive here. And I guess this is a way to kind of be transparent, what we're doing today, Kate, to be transparent, to say, hey, we are hard at work delivering the news as always, and we're here for you. And these are the accommodations, the adaptations that we're making.
Well, just to say that I feel so lucky and privileged to have any job during this time of incredible unemployment, but especially to have a job as a reporter that I believe in, a job that I love, that I do believe helps people, especially at a time when local media in particular has been hit so hard by
yes.
this virus, with the overall contraction in the economy just decimating advertising revenue for especially local newspapers. And we're seeing our colleagues being furloughed and other media organizations even being laid off at a time when we need reporters so badly. So I'm very grateful for the stability that IPR has and for our listeners who help us keep this going.
Mm-hmm. Kate, before we say goodbye and let you get on to your reporting for today, what are your thoughts when you contemplate many more months of this? I guess that's the most optimistic view, months. It could be even longer than months.
Mm-hmm.
Or this pandemic changing our manner, your manner of work for good. What are your thoughts?
Ooh, I get tired just thinking about that. I think we're doing the best we can. And I think we hear over and over again, you know, this is a marathon, not a sprint. And so just getting in the mindset of, you know, a long distance runner and believing that this is what we need to do to protect the most vulnerable in our society.
Right.
And taking it one day at a time.
And to buy that time via social distancing until we have a vaccine or some other solution to this pandemic to protect all of us, right? Young, old, at risk, or seen as not at risk. We don't know, really. We don't know this virus well enough to know who exactly is at risk and not.
Mm-hmm.
Kate, tell us, before we go quickly, what you're pursuing at the moment in terms of news.
Right after we talk, I'm about to hop on the phone with a woman who's reached out to me who her son is incarcerated during this time. And we're going to learn more about his story. And she had emailed me that he was getting close to be released. But now COVID is changing his situation. So I've been doing some reporting on the state prisons and really trying to get more perspective from people who are incarcerated right now and their concerns about the risk that they're facing. As we know, this virus is spreading exponentially in other correctional facilities across the country.
Right. So we'll look forward to that. Your reporting on that very important story, IPR's Eastern Iowa reporter, Kate Payne. Be safe. Take care of yourself, Kate. We'll look forward to hearing your news reports.
Okay, thanks.
Coming up after a short break, we'll find out what this COVID crisis has been like for IPR's digital content team. Also, Charity Nebbe on how she's faring working from home with all those cats and dogs. Also, we'll hear from Rob Dillard. I'm Ben Kiefer. It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. And we're back midstream in this edition of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. This hour, we're checking in with some of my colleagues here at IPR, some of the people responsible for producing content or making sure that content reaches you online through your smartphone or via good old-fashioned radio waves. In just a few minutes, we'll touch bases with Talk of Iowa host Charity Nebbe to find out what's it like to work from home if you have about, 8 or 9 pets roaming your house. Also, a chat with Rob Dillard to find out what reporting has been like lately for him, especially since Rob will retire next week, May 1st. But first, let's get a view of producing Iowa Public Radio digital content from Iowa Public Radio digital producer Lindsay Moon. Lindsay, I haven't seen you forever.
I know, it's been so long. It's been so long.
Such a different work environment, isn't it?
It is much different working from home, yeah. I'm all set up in my living room, and I have a really nice faux rabbit fur rug that I have in my living room, so it's a lot nicer than our office carpet, but I still miss being in the office with everyone.
Yeah, it is. That is the real downside to this, not seeing each other as colleagues here. So from your perspective, IPR digital content, you and Matt Searin look after that. What can you tell us about some of the changes we've experienced online digitally?
So people who run websites can tell where their traffic is coming from and how many people are on their site really at any moment. So we've seen our audience adapt and shift in the ways that we all have. So there are a lot fewer folks getting in their cars and commuting to work. And I think that we've seen that reflected in how many people are coming to our website. So we're trying to do our best to adapt our content and adapt our priorities so that we can really meet our audience where they are, so that everyone is getting the information that they're looking for right now. So if you go to iowapublicradio.org, you can see that in the live blog that we've been keeping since all of this really became prominent news that everyone is paying a lot of attention to, keeping updates for what the government is doing in addition to news headlines that will affect everyone in the state. We're putting the governor's press conferences, the video, on the homepage of our website. And we're also, you know, doing our best to be on social media with more attention than we might in a normal news cycle. So we're trying to do our best to announce a lot of the changes of what's happening, you know, across all digital platforms. And we do our best to do that on a normal day, but we've been spending a lot of extra time in those spaces right now because we know that we have a lot more people coming to us and relying on us for digital news, as we don't have as many people commuting right now.
Lindsay, as you've been online spending more time with social media, have you been noticing any trends?
Yeah, so I think that spending time on social media right now is, it's a really interesting space to be watching. There are a few things that I'm seeing that concern me. There are things that I'm seeing that I think are really wonderful. So, you know, Iowa PBS launched a Facebook group called Iowa's Neighborhood that's meant to be a space to share just good news that's happening during these strange times. We've got some Iowa Public Radio stories that are filtering through that group. And so there are some really great things that people are doing to try and chisel out spaces for lightheartedness and joy. You've seen a lot of musicians go online lately to do live streaming for their concerts. You've got artists that work with different kinds of media doing learn to paint classes from home. And so those kinds of trends developing on social media, I think, are really wonderful to see. We've launched a virtual concert series that happens on Tuesday from 6 to 7 p.m. Tonight, we're hosting a virtual concert with Marcaeus, who's a Des Moines-based hip-hop artist. On the flip side of that coin, I'm seeing a lot of misinformation get shared on Facebook right now. And I know that there's a lot of people that are very concerned about doing sort of rumor control as it applies to social media. And so I would give a warning to everyone to just make sure that you're checking the dateline on the stories that you're seeing being shared on social media. It's true that all the news regarding the novel coronavirus is changing all the time. And so a story from a week ago may no longer be relevant. So I think that's really important. We also know here at Iowa Public Radio that, you know, around half of the traffic to our website comes through Facebook. And so we know that a lot of people are consuming their news on that platform. Facebook is not really designed to be a news distribution site. You know, it was formed as a social network so that you could connect with your friends. Mm-hmm. It's social kinds of posting, photos of your family and things like that, that people want to interact with on that platform. And so we're in a position right now where we've really got to market news through Facebook. And there are a number of reasons why that can get you into a hairy situation. So I just want to encourage everyone to make sure that you're being civil on that platform. And if you're looking for some reading while you're home during these times and you're concerned about misinformation on social media, I've been reading a book called This Is Not Propaganda, Adventures in the War Against Reality. And it's all about the ways that Facebook has been used by bad actors to spread misinformation and fear. And I think that that's really interesting. You've also seen Facebook crack down on misinformation and try to get their arms wrapped around rumors spreading across that platform. They've done it in an incredibly short period of time, given the ongoing conversation about misinformation on that platform. So be aware of those kinds of things. And that's also a great book if you're looking for some reading during time when we're all at home.
And Lindsay, I know you you work very very closely with our digital manager at IPR, Matt Sear, and he'll be on the program Friday. Give us a little preview of what he'll be touching on in depth.
Yeah, so Matt and I both keep track of where people are coming to our website from, and we also do pay some attention to the ways that we could be hacked as an organization. And Matt does pays a lot of attention to information security.
I see.
So he'll have some tips for ways to stay safe at home. Everyone's spending a lot of time online right now, which presents an opportunity for folks that may want to hack your accounts.
Okay, more on that bad side, as if we needed another bad side to this pandemic. IPR digital producer Lindsay Moon, more on that with our colleague Matt Searin on Friday. For now, Lindsay Moon, thank you very much for your thoughts.
Thank you.
It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Well, this hour, I'm checking in with a few of my colleagues to find out how they've been doing, what stories they may have to tell. And when we speak of stories, we have to have Charity Nebbe come to mind, host of Talk of Iowa. Hi, Charity.
Hello, Ben.
Well, we've been trading stories just amongst us the last few weeks, struggling to get this to work, and it works pretty much for the most part. I wanted to share with our listeners what it's been like for you the past 4 to 6 weeks.
Well, I am still coming into the studio to host Talk of Iowa live, but I come in as late as I possibly can, and I'll record the billboard. That's the first minute of the show, and I go into the production room to do that. I wipe it down with a disinfectant wipe, then I record, and then I wipe it down again with another disinfectant wipe and go into the studio. And as soon as I'm done with the show, I flee to make room for anybody else who needs to be there. And well, then I'm working from home the rest of the time.
Right. And sometimes you flee because we don't see each other anymore, because your show ends at 11. I start, and I am doing some shows still at the studio. We're not quite transitioned fully to broadcasting from at least my home yet. So you're wiping off all that stuff for me. And
right.
Because we use the same microphone, we use the same headphones. So we're trying to do that, but we're missing each other, aren't we, Charity? Our whole team is missing each other. It's not the same feeling at all.
It's not. And I actually love that I get to go into the studio to do the show. And often, of course, Dennis Reese is always there. He has the studio to himself. And I get to see Dennis through a glass window. And then sometimes there will also be a producer on site, and I get to see them through another window. So it's three of us all in a row in our separate rooms, not breathing the same air.
So, Charity, I'm talking to you at your home right now.
Yes.
Tell us about your work, your homework environment. I know that's interesting.
It is. So a lot of people know that I'm an animal lover, and I have a lot of pets. I have three dogs. One of them is a new puppy. He's only 4 months old. And we have eight cats. And apparently... this working from home has been a dream of all of my pets for a very long time. The cats have really wanted to do a lot of computer work, and now they're getting an opportunity. Every time I so much as blink, I've got another cat on the keyboard of my laptop. So that's a constant challenge. Plus, I'm home with my two kids. My daughter is a freshman in high school, and my son is a sixth grader. So I'm trying to keep them emotionally healthy and intellectually engaged. I come up with their daily task list every morning, and we do have lunch and recess between noon and one every day, so we get to spend some quality time together. But we're juggling a lot, and right now I'm in my son's bedroom closet.
You're actually in the closet, and
I am in the closet. So
are you? Amongst Carter's clothes, his shirts? No.
He is a 12-year-old boy, and he doesn't believe in hanging anything up. So his closet...
How fortunate.
It is. His closet became the number one candidate when I was looking for a nice, quiet space, because he really wasn't using it anyway. I did have to clean some things out, but nothing that he considered to be of any value whatsoever.
So I wonder... I mean, there are obvious trade-offs. I think all of us have kind of experienced obvious trade-offs. There's the extra distractions at home, but also, so what are the trade-offs for you, the things that you dislike and like the most about being at home?
Well, right now I can hear a cat meowing through the door. So although I love my cats very much, I never wanted them to be my coworkers, and they're terrible, terrible coworkers. I also find I just have a really hard time focusing. Tasks take me a lot longer because it's hard for me to really zero in and focus on one thing. I'm constantly getting interrupted or distracted. So that's really been difficult. And actually, some days the work days have gotten longer because I just can't get things done in a timely way. And recording stuff, you can report on this, Ben. You know, there are 3 or 4 more steps to recording anything if you do it at home than if you do it in the studio. So that's really time consuming. But I also am acutely aware of how incredibly fortunate I am. And I've been loving the time with my kids. I love having lunch and recess with my kids. I think that would be a tremendous quality of life improvement if I could do that every day of my life. So I'm also really enjoying those moments. And I've got to say, I think that potty training the puppy is going better because we're home.
Yes, you have a new... Yeah, for those who don't know, you have a new puppy since when?
We got him in February. So he's still working on potty training, although he's not working on it as hard as we are. And he's still chewing on everything and barking a lot.
Okay, well, we don't know when this will end. We know it's changing our society and our work, our ways of work, probably, I don't know, for months to come, maybe longer than that. What are your thoughts, Charity, when you contemplate months of this or even longer?
Well, I have never been more acutely aware of my privilege. So I think that's what I think about the most. I think about how fortunate I am that my family is safe and healthy and that I'm still employed. And so I can do this work. And when days are long and frustrating, I think about that. And I'm really, really proud of the work that I'm doing. I've been having a lot of fun making Talk of Iowa into school work. We're doing school on Tuesdays and Thursdays and coming up with other ways to tell stories. So it's not easy, but I just know that so many others are struggling with much greater challenges than I am. And I can stay here in my son's closet as long as I need to, if it helps people.
Very well put. Charity Nebbe, thank you so much for sharing a little bit of the behind-the-scenes work that you've been facing the last few weeks there with your family at home, but also coming in to host shows in our studio as well. Charity Nebbe, thanks.
Thank you, Ben.
It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Well, if you've been listening this hour so far, you know that we're checking in with a number of my colleagues to give you a sense of how the COVID crisis has changed the way we gather and report news, how the process of bringing you our talk shows is also different. Well, let's talk now with my colleague, Rob Dillard, longtime IPR correspondent. Hi, Rob.
Hi, Ben.
Well, you are in the unique position of having the final days of your phased retirement coincide with this crisis. I've been wanting to ask you, how does that feel?
Oh, Ben, I can't sugarcoat it. This has been a very hard period for me. I am indeed retiring at the end of next week. My last day will be May 1st with Iowa Public Radio, and I thought it would be a time for joyful hugs.
Yeah.
And I'm so saddened to not see my workmates, my colleagues, the people I admire the most, and not be able to say goodbye to them in person has been very tough for me.
Yeah, it'll be tough for us to say so long without, you know, without that hug, without that handshake. You know, just thinking back on your career, for me, we haven't worked together the entirety of your career at Iowa Public Radio, but the Being in Iowa series was such a standout. I don't know if you have any other high points of your career to share.
I was really pleased with the results of that series. It was an attempt to cast a light on some diversity in the state that doesn't normally get attention. And so to be able to travel the state and to tell the stories of people who are not always in the spotlight was the highlight of my time at at Iowa Public Radio. Last year I spent an entire year kind of embedded in a Des Moines high school with a huge diverse population. And again, that was meaningful for me to be able to talk about education and how these young people are struggling at times, but working very hard to succeed. That, again, was something I was very proud of.
I know your career predates, as mine does, the beginning of Iowa Public Radio. What year did you first start working for an Iowa Public Radio station?
2001. It was about 8 months later that we had 9/11.
Exactly. Okay, so you've been through and reported on the crises going back to 9/11. How does this COVID crisis compare? Incomparable to anything else, isn't it?
It touches everyone directly. I mean, people are not able to conduct their normal lives. And I don't remember that being the case at 9/11. Of course, it was a national tragedy, and everyone was extraordinarily moved by it and touched by it. But this has made it difficult to conduct our daily routines.
Right.
And it's very different.
It's that, you know, you hear it so often, but truly we have been in the news business here riding the bicycle while the bicycle is rebuilt to work in different circumstances. How has that been for you?
I am not as technologically savvy as my younger colleagues. They will tell you that I am easily frustrated when things don't work. And there have been some times here at home when things didn't work.
Right.
So I have struggled with that. And to pick up at the last hours of my career some new ways of doing things has been challenging.
Right. So what have been the journalistic challenges that you've faced over the past few weeks that have been sort of unique to this crisis?
Public radio has always taken pride in the quality of the sound we gather and in going out and conducting interviews face-to-face so that we can,
yes,
can bring that quality sound. I have not been able to do that. I've relied on iPhones and recording devices that I'm unfamiliar with, and I produced a piece last week about how the pandemic has affected arts organizations, and you can easily tell that those interviews are not conducted face-to-face. They are over a phone line, and the quality of them is just not as good.
Right, and I can speak to that, too. It's just, I haven't seen any of my guests over the last few weeks. It's been the disembodied voices. However nice that is, it's better to, when possible, see the person, be able to shake the hand, look in the face, and mm-hmm. see how they're responding to your questions, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. That's always important for me, was to be able to watch their expressions so that you can play off the look in their eye as much as you play off the words they speak.
Okay, well,
and it's also challenging here at home. I live in a very small apartment,
uh-huh.
and I was never prepared to convert it into an office space. So I've done some digging around to make sure that I even have a table to use.
So what does it look like, the work environment you have there at home?
I'm in my living room. My partner, just before all of this happened, ordered a small desk for me, and it had nothing to do with the fact that I was going to be working at home. It was just something she thought I should have. And so I'm working off of this very small desk. I have a swivel chair so I can spin around if I feel the need. I'm using an ottoman as a side table. It's not what you would advise someone to work out of.
Well, Rob Dillard, it's been nice talking with you. Get a picture of how you're working. We'll find a way to give you a good send off into retirement next week. It is Yeah, too bad that that coincides with this crisis, but there are bigger crises, personal crises out there for others who are out of work.
Yeah,
so, you know, we are grateful to be able to work from our homes. As we've said a number of times on this broadcast, we are grateful for our Iowa Public Radio listeners supporting the news that we do here during these trying times. And Rob Dillard, we have so appreciated your work throughout your career here at Iowa Public Radio. We will miss you so much, sir.
Thanks, Ben.
And that's it for today's edition of River to River. River to River is produced by Matt Alvarez, Caitlin Harrop, and Rick Brewer. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. I'm Ben Kiefer. Stay safe, and thanks for joining us.